Great. Well, Lydia found a topic for me to cover, and thankfully we had enough time to get that in last night. And it was Five Rules for Leadership by Lisa Grossman. She did a presentation on this at a convention, and Lydia came across it, and so she sent it over to me. And what was so funny is as I was preparing for it, I'm looking, she had the five rules were there, but they didn't have any material supporting it. So what I did, I liked her five rules. So I just developed all the guts of it from that. So I'm highlighting to all of you, these are five rules for leadership that Lisa Grossman, and for those of you who don't know Lisa Grossman, she's a huge network marketer. I mean, she's as well known out there as people like Sarah Robbins and things like that. And she's done an incredible job, very different than Sarah Robbins. I mean, they're opposites in terms of, you know, Sarah's all into beautiful looks, beautiful dress, beautiful face, beautiful everything. Lisa's the exact opposite. You know, she's just, she's like more like Mary Jo, you know. It was like, you know, we put up with those things because we have to, but we really like to be, you know, just basic, and we care more about heart and all the other things than we ever care about what our looks are. So, but she's like, I enjoy her because she tends to be a little gruff and rough around the edges in her communication style. She doesn't, you know, hem-haw about anything. She doesn't, it's no mamsy-pamsy in her communication style. But this is what she gave at a network marketing convention, and the five rules, and so understand that the five rules was what she stated, and that's all I had, and I put all the guts behind it in the outline. So she probably takes it a little different direction, but hopefully I'm feeding you some good fodder to help you all grow. The first thing she said is, she said, get out of your comfort zone. Be willing to suck until, see what I said about Lisa. You would never hear Sarah Robbins say something like this. Be willing to suck until you become mediocre and then eventually great. And that's the reality of everything we do in life, right? I mean, whenever we start something new, we don't know very much. We're a brand new beginner. We're spanking new. So we go out there and we stumble, we fall, we skin our knees, we make a fool of ourselves. And in fact, speaking of Sarah Robbins, I was listening to her earlier today. I don't know why I had it on, just popped up some of her blog stuff. And she loves to tell her story about how she went to this, she finally got the guts up to go to this woman at a cosmetic counter in a mall, and she did what she calls the verbal vomit everywhere, and then she got in her car and she came home and she was crying all the way home, and she's calling her upline, who happened to be her mom, and she was telling her mother about how pathetic. She said, do you think I should go back? And her mother said, absolutely not. And then it was just about a learning lesson, right? But the idea was, what caused Sarah to go there in the first place? What causes us to go places outside of our comfort zone? If we don't reach outside our comfort zone, we're never going to go anywhere. And the important thing is to really understand that we all need to get the heck out of our comfort zone. And some people don't even understand the word comfort zone. I don't really like the connotation very much of calling it comfort zone, although that's what it's most well known for. So I use that terminology, as Lisa did as well. But what I renamed it a number of years back, because I found a lot of people that loved their comfort zone. They love staying in their comfort zone. But the problem with it is they were living in a trailer park. They hardly have, you know, they hardly had, you know, two dimes to their name. But they were just, you know, that was their zone that they lived in. And it wasn't, there was nothing comfortable about their zone. So I would look at these people and I'd say, this should not be called a comfort zone. This should be called a known zone. So I gave it a new name for me. I think people like to stay in their known zone. They like, because what happens is they don't have nothing extraordinary happens, nothing out of the usual happens. They know exactly what's going on. They know, you know, and for a lot of people, they know their life stinks and this is as good as it's going to get, and they get into getting angry with the world and angry in politics and angry in something, and they just grab onto all these issues because that is what keeps them going, I guess, is negativity and anger or whatever, but they're stuck in what I call their known zone, you know, because again, I don't like to use the word comfort zone because there's nothing comfortable about it. And the idea is we get stuck in that because we don't want to stretch ourselves. We don't want to pull ourselves out into an environment that causes us to be uncomfortable. And network marketing is uncomfortable. I don't know anyone who jumps in network marketing and finds total comfort in it from day one. I guess there are people out there that love to just talk to anybody who's walking down the street, but that wasn't true for me. I was a practicing lawyer for years, and of course I didn't just go out and just talk to anybody. But that was a hard thing to do. It was a hard thing to break small conversation. I hated small conversation. I mean, I was the ultimate hated small. If I wasn't going to get something out of that conversation and go somewhere with it, I didn't want to participate in it. Wow. Wasn't that incredible? But that was my underlying belief system. So I didn't just break out in small conversation with people. But, you know, today I break out in small conversation with everyone. In fact, I was talking the other day at a group at church, and I was saying, I said, you know, the number one way I would love to teach people evangelism is sign them up in network marketing and just get them, you know, put a rule on it. They have to get the regional director by the first month, national by 3 months, and I'm going to tell you, it's going to break down so many barriers of you not being comfortable talking to just anybody. And that's what we do for evangelism. I mean, isn't it? It's our calling. For those of us who have committed our lives to Christ, that's our calling in our life. And I understand that there are a lot of different people with different religions on this phone, and so I'm just drawing that analogy. But if your calling is to reach out to people in whatever way it is, you know, doing network marketing is the best training tool in your life. So the idea is that we want to get out of our comfort zone. We want, because mostly because of that number one fact, which is everything that we really want in life is not in our comfort zone today. And you can argue it, and you can say, well, I don't really want that. I don't really want a bigger house. I don't want a bigger car. I don't really want to build 6 churches in Brazil. I don't want to help build an orphanage in India. I don't want, you know, you can say all that, but the reality is that you've just convinced yourself that you don't want to do anything because perhaps you're in a situation where you don't want to make yourself feel badly that you're not doing it. But if money, all you have to do is ask yourself the simple question. If money were no object in your life, if you had unlimited resources and unlimited time, what would you be doing with your life? And that tells you what's important to you, what's important, right? So I'm suggesting that that's probably the answers to those questions are going to be outside of your comfort zone or outside of your known zone. So what we want to do is instead of being committed to be staying stuck and thinking that that's what's bringing us happiness in life or that's what keeps us, what is it? Some people say, well, Mary Jo, it really doesn't bring me happiness. Just like you said, a lot of people's quote-unquote comfort zones are really just a known zone and they're really miserable staying in it. But to try to reach out and step out and go outside of that zone would bring misery because now it's unknown. And they have such a negative outlook on life, they never can look at anything's possible. If anything's possible, why don't you go create it? So instead of that positive attitude, they take a negative attitude. And their known zone now is kind of like a protective shield to them. But again, be committed to being uncomfortable. Make yourself miserable a little bit. I wasn't very excited when I first started doing Manatech. I was excited about the products. I knew what they were. I knew the science. I knew all of that. But I wasn't excited about going out and just talking to anyone walking down a street or wherever they might be. That was very uncomfortable for me. And today, it's Lydia drags me out of places because she doesn't want me to talk to people. She says, we got to go. You know, so, there are times when we just got to go, right? So it's a different world. And what a blessing the people have been in my life in so many different ways. You know, and it doesn't always mean Manatech. Who knows why, what that relationship's going to, you know, become. But I always put that out there. I always want to be in relationship with people. So getting yourself out of your comfort zone into the state of uncomfortable. And what happens when you expand your comfort zone? What happens, people? You know exactly what happens. All of a sudden, you start getting out of your comfort zone and your comfort zone starts expanding because the areas that now become known to you and comfortable for you grow. And they grow and they grow and they grow. And like Lydia tells me all the time, she says, Mary Jo, you don't have a comfort zone. Everything that happens, you're willing to try anything, do anything, go anywhere, be with anyone, whatever it is. You find no discomfort in anything that's out there. You'll participate, you know, at any level to kind of meet new people, be around people, touch people in new ways. And she's probably right. I don't really feel I don't have a level of discomfort. I think we were somewhere just the other day, and Lydia goes, I don't know if this looks like such a great area to be in. And I said, why? It didn't bother me. But again, part of that for me is also my faith and knowing that there's somebody greater watching over me, so I don't have to worry about this place in life and this position I'm in or where I might be or location I'm in. But again, get out of that comfort zone, be uncomfortable, go out there, grow. That's where your growth is going to occur. Developing your skill set, of course, is crucial, and that pushes you outside your comfort zone because a lot of us need to learn how to listen more. And you go, well, that's not comfortable for me to not talk. It wasn't comfortable for me not to talk. I love to talk. You guys all know that. You listen to me every Monday morning. But I love talking. I love teaching. I love training. But I also have learned that art of listening. So I love when I meet somebody new and do a three-way call or wherever it is, and I can start asking questions. So that's how I talk less and listen more. And that's a big joy to me. And learning how to show how much I care to people before they even get to know who I am. And again, that goes back to being a great listener, asking about them, finding out about them. People love it when other people are intrigued to know more about you because that makes you feel more important. Yeah, and separating yourself from the sale. How do I separate myself from a sale? That's a skill to learn to be a better, and that's, again, outside your comfort zone. You know, you want to go after the sale. You want to close people. You want to aim at it. That's all the direction you want to go. Well, maybe that's not working for you. So you got to move from a salesman to a solution provider. And how do I do that? All these things are important. That skill set to develop is important. And a lot of that is shifting you. And if you want to stay stuck and you want to be who you are and you want to stay where you are, you're going to feel uncomfortable doing all those things. But it is a shift that's required to be terrific in this business. I haven't met any network marketer who hasn't made major shifts in their life. Listen to Sarah Robbins anytime, and she'll tell you that it was the grace of God and by the gifts of self-development, you know, all the things that she did to grow herself that made all the difference in her world as a shy kindergarten teacher and becoming a multi-millionaire, and she's 30 years old, right? I mean, that's pretty incredible in that short a period of time. So you've got to develop the idea that it's okay to make mistakes. Because it's just okay, right? We got to be okay with making mistakes. We got to be okay with things not going the way we wanted them to go. Because last time I looked, you're never going to run out of people on the face of the earth. And the people that have enough grace in their life, you know what? They're not going to. You make a mistake with them, when you go back the next time, guess what? A lot of them will get it the second time around or the third time around, or they'll come around when they see you being successful. That's what's going to start attracting them to you again. So they'll get it. So don't worry about those 1, 2, 3, 5, 10, 30. You know, just like Sarah Robbins didn't worry about the girl at the cosmetic counter. She didn't let that stop her from becoming a multimillionaire and now having built her second orphanage in India. It's because her dream was bigger than that. And that's what really gets you, drives you outside your comfort zone. So I'm going to suggest to you, if you're stuck in your comfort zone, you got to really get ready to go out of it. Allow yourself to be horrible when you first get started and screw things up and do things wrong, because every step of that way is a learning experience. And you just keep improving. Over time, you improve. And sometimes it takes a month, 3 months, 6 months, whatever time it takes. That's okay. It's development. It's self-development. It's developing you. Number two, challenge your assumptions so you can discover your truths. This is huge. And because we all come into this world, we all come into an environment, we come into a new job, we come into a new entrepreneurial experience with assumptions. I did, and I shared. I became vulnerable and shared some of those with you today on the outline. I said, you know, my assumptions were I'm smart enough so I can figure this out on my own. So I didn't bother reading books or going to seminars or doing any of that. I just jumped into network marketing. It looked simple enough. You know, I read a couple of the brochures that Manatech put out, the green binder we had back then, and I took off. And I just said, I can do this. I mean, my biggest thing was watching people on stage and go, if they can do it, surely I can do it, right? Wrong. Bad assumptions. And I had to fall flat on my face in my first 6 months to really get that, right? And I also had the assumption that as long as I know it all and I have all the answers, people will follow me. Wrong. People will never follow you because of your knowledge. They'll follow you because of your heart. So how wrong was that assumption? I mean, it was totally wrong. science will win over anyone over. So as long as I could tell people all about the science and convince them and go into the endoplasmic reticulum and the Golgi apparatus and where the glycoproteins attach to the cells, you know, the proteins and the lipids and how they're built and the saccharides attach to the proteins and the lipids and the endoplasmic reticulum and the Golgi apparatus, and then they come growing out of the cell like trees in the earth. I could tell them this great story. Wrong. Most people's eyes would gloss over, right? What a bad assumption I had. See, all these assumptions that we have about how we're doing the business or what's the best way to do the business, wrong. We have a lot of them that are wrong. But if we're not willing and open to listen or to grow, and that's what makes people, remember one of the things that we always look for in people that we want to partner with in this business, we want to make sure they are hungry for education and knowledge. Because people who are arrogant and think they know it all are just almost impossible to work with. And it makes it so hard that you get frustrated and then you feel like your business isn't growing and you're failing when it's not about you failing. It's about you're picking up on people who are impossible to educate and help grow. They're never going to build a skill set because they think they already have it. And they're so far from the truth in that. So maybe you can't touch them, but what I like to do when I find somebody that's hard-headed like that and uneducable, I try to get them in books because they're not listening to me, but they might listen to some masters out there because they don't look at Mary Jo as a master in network marketing, and that's fine. However they want to perceive me is up to them. That's, again, their perception. But I have plenty of books that can get them across that finish line as well. So I get them into a reading program and then discuss what they learn. But I spend only so much time. If they truly become so stuck and so uneducable that a book can't even move them forward, then you know what? I don't spend a lot of time because I've got a lot of very hungry people in my organization that really want to make this business work, and they're willing to commit to change. So all of these things are things that we all need to uncover. What are the assumptions we're making about our business and how we operate so that we can discard them and truly find the truth there, right? And I love to tell people about beginner's mind. If you're not familiar with that concept, it's a concept that comes from Zen. It's an excellent concept. It's about blanking our mind and being able to really being open to hear what's around us. And we never want to ever stop learning. I still do it every day. Why do you think I read books? I have 3 books on my desk right now that I need to read, and they're probably, you know, I'll probably read one of them this week and dedicate next week for another one. But it's the critical that we keep feeding our brains, feeding our knowledge, growing in ourselves, because there's so much knowledge out there for us to have. So keep feeding our brains. So have that beginner's mind, willing to hear, never stop learning no matter what level you are, and experiment with new ways, challenge your beliefs, and get outside of the concept. A lot of people say, should have, would have, could have, you know, people like to use that language. Well, this is the way it should be, or this is the way it could have been, or this is the way, and I go, oh my gosh, you know. Don't use the word should be. This is the way things should be. And should have, could have, would have. That's language of failures. That's language of failing. If you find yourself using that language, it's a language of disappointment. It's a language around expectations. I was just working with somebody the other day, and I was in a counseling session. I said, your expectations. It was marriage, and I was talking about expectations they had in their marriage. I said, these are all these expectations. You're getting disappointed by your own expectations. Release your expectations. And just start loving your spouse. And they're going, but I can't remember. He doesn't do this. He doesn't. I said, those are all your expectations. I said, what if you loved your spouse and he in return loves you more, and now watch what happens in his change of behavior to satisfy you. But right now, you just build all these expectations and you're depressed about it and you're, you know, complaining about it. And that's what we tend to do. The only person we can control in our life is what? Who is that person? Look in a mirror. And some of us even can't even control ourselves, because we don't allow ourselves to be open to hear and open to grow and learning new things. But the concept here is that you want to definitely be challenging the way you're thinking, your assumptions that you have, and you know, beliefs about what things should be, and start looking in a new direction. Challenge it. Challenge those things that you and just if they're worthy of keeping, you know what, people get fear because they go, I'm not going to challenge my faith. Well, I don't challenge my faith in Jesus Christ either, but I invest in it every day. I read the Bible. I go to Bible studies. I do trainings and teachings. I just finished a forgiveness class yesterday, which was awesome, and just saw people move like never before in their life. People who are 50 years old that were stuck in mud. They go to church every Sunday. They go to all the Bible studies, and they're stuck because no one ever opened Scripture and told them, talked to them about forgiveness, right? They never got it. They never got about forgiving self and forgiving others. Never got it. So what fun is that kind of stuff? But it's experimenting. They were willing to attend a class because they were willing to do what? They're willing to challenge an assumption they had about what they thought was truth. And they challenged it and they broke through it. And now they have a whole new understanding. That's what we do. That's what leaders do. That's what people do, grow, want to be the best they can be in whatever endeavor they choose to be, is they challenge the assumptions they have. Number three, speak in the language of the person you want to become. This is huge as well. I love this. It's like if you want to be, you know, so many people, I go, well, she's really negative, talks negatively, and I go, golly, so how do we get over that? I said, we start feeding your positive. Feed positive language in your life. Rephrase it. We talk about affirmations a lot in network marketing. What are affirmations? They're statements about truths that we want to start believing and having in our lives, right? We start building language that is going to draw us closer to the people we want to become. So who is it that's really attractive to you in network marketing? Who is somebody that's a leader, a guru, that you look up to and you honor and you want to be like them? Then you want to hang around them. You want to be near them. You want to listen to them. You want to listen to their language. You want to hear their heart. You want to see, and you want to start changing your language in that direction. And in order to get to know that, you know, how do I know what language they use? Read their books. Go to conventions. Listen to them speak. Grab onto it. I know some people say to me, go, well, they're really just, they're just so, you know, they don't even know reality, Mary Jo. They live in la-la land. They're Pollyanna. And I go, no, they're not Pollyanna. You know, some people might call me Pollyanna. I'm not Pollyanna. I just know that negative thoughts and negative expressions don't serve me. So I want to stay away from, as far away from them as possible in my life, and I drive that every day. And trust me, when people say, oh, that, but Mary Jo, you've always been like that, I said, you should have known me 20 years ago when I was a lawyer. You think lawyers walk around this earth with this positive attitude, everything comes up roses, everything is possible? Are you kidding me? We as lawyers are taught to slash and crash and bury people, you know? I mean, really. That was my upbringing. That was my educational process. I had another side to me, of course, you know, but that was what I did in my career. And when you do that 8 hours, 12 hours a day, and for lawyers, 16 hours a day for most days, 5-6 days a week, I mean, that's who you become. You can fight it all you want, but when you stare in that mirror, and I remember getting up some mornings looking in a mirror, and I didn't like the person I saw. And that's when I knew it was time to make a difference, right? It's time to make a shift. You got to shift. Because don't let other environments. So how do I choose into being that likable, soft, generous, kind, you know, thoughtful, caring, loving, positive, anything's possible attitude? I choose into it. I read books. I study people who are like that. I read their speeches. I listen to them at seminars. And I grow in their language. And that's how we can grow in our languages too. We want to grow in this language. We want to be that person. Find the people you honor that you want to be like, and bathe yourself in their books, in their teachings, in their literature, in their CDs, and that's how we build ourselves. And build affirmations that draw us nearer and nearer to that person. And it's not that you become that person, you just become a better you because you're making choices to go after those characteristics that are going to allow you to be a better you. And I love it when I hear people. That's why when I go to seminars, I was at the, you know, the network professional network marketer seminar a few months back. I always share with you guys on Monday morning like the 30-page outline of everybody who was there. But the authors, the people that really struck me the most on stage are the ones I went out and I bought their books. And what did I do? I read their books. And then I came back and I gave you an overview of their book as well because I was so moved by them. Brian Carruthers was one of the guys that moved me in a huge direction, right? And I looked at him. I said, wow, look what he's doing. Look at the things. And I picked up on some of his habits. Like today we do private business receptions for new, you know, business builders. We do private conference calls for new business builders. So we've added some new things because I listened to him, how he grew his business to be a multi-millionaire. I was enjoying how he became so successful. And I could see the differences, what I do compared to what he does, how he speaks compared to what I speak, the things that he's doing differently. So we just, that's how we go after it. It's the reason why this last weekend when I listened to Tony Robbins on the call with Eric Worre, it was like, I mean, I dialed up and bought his book in 5 seconds. Of course, then I found out Lydia already had it on my iPad. She had bought it when it came out 6 months ago. So now we had two of them, but that's okay. But it's great stuff like that. It's like, you know, when somebody touches your heart, make the investment because there's a reason they're ringing your heart and you want to be like that. Number four, make the little decisions with your head and the big decisions with your heart. You know, I researched this one, and I found out it really was a quote by Emily Keith. She's the original person that made that statement, not that it needs to have origination, because all of us can say that language over and over again. We've heard it so often. And what we're talking about here is clearly that, you know, your small decisions, you know, you make decisions, and I'm a quick decision maker. I'm not, my husband is one that troubles. And this has a lot to do with the personality quadrants, which is why I put it in the outline as well. Because depending on what quadrant you're in, you could fall into a situation where you're very different from, we're very different from each other, depending on what quadrant we're in. And my major piece, and of course now I know I'm blended in all four of the quadrants, but my major piece historically has always been the promoter quadrant. And I still think I still have, you know, I'm probably 30-35%, you know, in that quadrant still today. But I have huge pieces in all of the other quadrants. And in my weakest quadrant now has become really more significant all the time, which is the supporter quadrant. I love that quadrant. I thrive in it today, whereas 15 years ago when I went through the first personality quadrant analysis, I didn't understand how anyone would thrive in that quadrant. I didn't see the value of it, and that was what something I needed to understand. I needed to go through an understanding of that. So when we make decisions, let's go back to making decisions, we make little decisions. Little decisions are just day in and day out type decisions that we make with our head, because our decision making process is up in our head for the most part. Analytics, right? We analyze something, we make a decision. And then again, I talk about my husband immediately because he's an analyst and he doesn't make decisions. He needs all the information, because what's driving his life, unlike mine, his life is driven by the fact he doesn't want to be wrong. So it takes him endless time and hours to make decisions. It takes him weeks sometimes where I can make a decision on the drop of a hat. We're both made differently. That's the personality quadrant difference. But for me, those decisions are made. He's still in his head. There's no difference here, people. They're smaller decisions, and he's making them in his head. It's just his head takes endless time because he feels totally tied to the idea that it has to be perfect or it has to be right. Whereas Mary Jo goes, hey, let's move ahead. Let's do this. If it turns out not to work, you know what? Great. Well, that's a learning experience. And it allows me to have yet one more experience that I can then share with other people, right? It also is a method of contribution. But we want to make those small decisions in our head, our logic in our head. We weigh the pros and cons and make a decision. When we go to our heart, what are we saying about our heart decisions? We want to go to our heart with things that are really big. Really big decisions need to be made by our heart, because what's in our heart is what? That's our emotions. That's our feeling. That's not just logic. That's not just pros and cons. It's what is your sense about it? What do you sense about it? What's your heart telling you in regard to this? And that's how we need to run our lives, is really be true to our heart, because we know when we're not true to our heart, don't we? Because that whole pain occurs and we get really, you know, we move in a direction that's uncomfortable, and we know that something wrong is going on. So we want to make sure that when we're making the bigger decisions, we're allowing our heart to make the decision. Now, some of you on the call today are going to go, well, Mary Jo, you know, when I make my decision to come to manifest, my heart always tells me to go. And I go, that's because your heart's right. You know, if you're in this business and you want to become great at it, you want to impact a lot of people's lives with these products, there's no better place to be than to make sure you're at manifest every year. So your heart's right. But then we get the logic into it, and you go, well, but logically I can't do it. But you get the no from that little brain. And that little brain is just convincing you nothing's possible. And that's what happens. We let that little logic get involved in our decision-making, and it starts telling us, well, that's not possible. And then you start getting convinced that it's not possible. See, I think everybody can go to manifest no matter what. People go, I can't really afford it. I said, well, then grow your business. And they go, oh, that's taking you out of your comfort zone. I get it. So you really aren't committed to your business. So if you're not committed to your business, why do you want to go to manifest? Well, I'm totally committed. And I go, no, you're not. You get it? You're playing this whiplash game with your head and your heart. You're mixing them. And that also goes with when you're working with people, you know? When you're talking with people, working with people, come from your heart, not from your head. They don't need logic from you. What they need from you is they need to feel that you care. So heart and heads are huge, dramatic differences in our life. We want to make sure that we get where we want those decisions to come from, where we want to place the big decisions from that heart. Make sure you're true to your heart, because that's what you have to live with the rest of your life. And the big decisions are the ones that have huge ramifications in your life, right? The small decisions, if they're wrong, big deal. Next, move on. Next. I probably make 10 bad decisions every day of my life because I'm a decision maker. And I'm not saying 10. I did say that, but I don't know how many. But they don't bother me. They don't bother me. I let them go. I don't beat up on myself on a bad decision. I learn from it, and I move forward because it gives me a lesson as well in the process. It gives me, I learn from every – that's the premise that you want to live with, is learning from every decision you do make. And then finally, 5 is knowing what you know today. What can you do to make the greatest impact? Spend your time doing that. So what are we talking about in this regard? We're talking about evaluating what experiences have we been through. Where can I have the greatest impact? What can I do to have the greatest impact? Some of us are going, oh my gosh, I can have my greatest impact in 6 different areas. That's okay too. They're not saying select one, because I select many. I love being in the mission field. I love teaching at my church classes. I love Manatech. I mean, I love even being active in health ministries outside of promoting Manatech, like grocery shopping tours and things like that. I'm dedicated to all those kind of things. I'm dedicated to my family. So there's a lot of, we can have huge impact in a lot of ways. But I can also see where my greatest impact right now, in Manatech right now, as I grow and as I touch people's lives, I can help people in 1,000 different ways, right? When I teach my forgiveness at class at church, I'm helping those group of people truly understand the heart of God when it comes to forgiveness, so they can walk in that same realm. So I'm one topic. When I get involved with Manatech, I can touch people's lives in 100 ways. I mean, I can help them with coaching. I can help them with counseling. I can help them build their wealth. I can help them build their health. I can help them be a part of this great mission. I can help that grow them into leadership levels that they never would get that kind of attention or training anywhere else in their lives. Perhaps they've never been exposed to so much of it. They can take that and now I all of a sudden can feel like I have an army of people that are out there changing the world. Instead of it being about Mary Jo, it's now an army of people changing the world. And that's what I love about Manatech. That's why I think it's the perfect vehicle, because it allows me to multiply myself. It allows me to go, okay, I've got 20 Mary Jo's out there. And they're not that I'm anything special, but I mean I have 20 people that have a heart, love mine, a heart that says, I want to change this world. I want to help people with their health. I want to help people have financial security, and I want to help end global malnutrition in kids. And those are gigantic goals for any one of us. But each one of us in Manatech can take those sets of goals, and we can multiply them geometrically through this model called direct sales. It allows us to do that. So you know, it's where I can have my greatest impact. But do I have to step out of my comfort zone on a daily basis? Do I do things that I'm not necessarily comfortable with? Do I have to push myself to do a lot of things? Do I have to keep, you know, my nose to the grind? You bet. But the reward is so phenomenal. So I make investments. I continue to invest how to be better. I read books all the time. You know, if leadership is an issue for you and you just feel like people aren't listening to you or you're not getting the attention or that you feel you deserve or whatever that is. I mean, it doesn't matter what we feel we deserve. We get what we give, right? So become a better leader. So, you know, grab Orrin Woodward's book. Read it yet again. I already read it. Well, maybe you missed some points. Read it again. Develop, focus on different points in there. Read it with the intent. This is what I always tell people. I think I've told you on this call many times. When you read a book, I have this book review sheet that I use with people that are new readers that don't read a lot. And I go, you know, after every chapter or every section of a chapter, you can sit down and you go, okay, what impacted me the most? What did I like the most about it? And then the next thing you got to write down, what did I love most about it? But then you have to say, how is it going to change my life? So you can see where my focus is always on, don't read just to say you've read. Read so that you go through a transformation. And that transformation isn't jagged. You're not going to become King Kong overnight. This isn't what happens. It's a minor transformation, but it has a major play in your life. It might be something so minor, but I'm going to tell you long term it's going to be major play out. Because that's truly how we change, how we transform to become that incredible human being that we are all created to be, right? And make a larger difference in the world. So reread Orrin Woodward's book. I challenge you all, pick it up again, read it again, pick out the things that really hit home and take notes on it as you're going through it. Not notes doing a book report. This isn't about a book report. I don't need you to give me cliff notes to Orrin Woodward's Leadership Revolution. Some of you, that's the only way you've ever known how to read a book is do cliff notes. Wrong. What was most impactful about what you read in the last 10 pages? How does it apply to your life today, and how is it going to change your life tomorrow? Right? Simple questions. Because people, you know, the definition of insanity is to keep doing what you've always been doing and expect different results. And I think that's so true here that, you know, if we keep doing the same thing, we're going to create the same results. So who needs to change? We do. And all of Lisa's comments are about, hey, step into it. Get out of that comfort zone. Make some differences in your life. You know, grab your why. What is your why today? How many of you even know what your why is? You know, how many of you really have grappled with that? Start with why. Simon Sinek driven that. And then if you're overwhelmed by your why because it's so big, here's another suggestion for you on that why, where you can have the greatest impact. Here's a start. Sarah Robbins taught me this early on a few years back. I remember not that early on because she wasn't even doing network marketing when I started. But she said, you know what, one of the things her mentor told her when she said her dream was to help children and families, and she wanted to do great things, like she had a vision of orphanages and things like that when she first started. She had this idea. But it was so overwhelming that it stopped her dead in the water because she didn't see herself ever getting there. And her mentor said, you know, Sarah, this is what you want to do. Every check you receive from your company, set aside some funds. Maybe it's $10 every couple of weeks, or maybe it's $20, whatever it is, and start just doing little things for women and children. Just start on a monthly basis. Just start. Here's my reward this month. This is what I'm going to do this month. This is where I'm spending this money this month. So we don't have to make big impacts every month, but if we start getting in the habit of setting that aside, that will drive you. That will drive you. So it's not about you thinking that what you're doing today is building an orphanage in India or building 6 churches in Brazil. That may never happen for you in your life, but you know what? You start with what you can do, and you focus on that and how rewarding that is in and of itself. And then little by little, that allows your dream to drive you. So take little bite sizes. Okay, people, that's it. Hopefully these 5 rules for leadership and growth by Lisa served you. I hope you gained something from the call this morning. it's a great time to reassess and start going, okay, where am I going? What's my direction? What do I need to be doing differently? And start making some of those shifts in your life to create the best possible result in your life, right? All of us. I am right there with you. Trust me. It doesn't matter how far you've gone or where you are today. We can all be better. And that's the reality of being human, right? We can all be better. All right, everyone. Any questions, comments, you guys? Great. Okay, people, last week of business period, let's hammer it out. Let's make it happen. And look forward to talking to you next Monday. Yahoo! Bye, everybody.